The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, and a good evening to you on this St. Paddy's Day's weekend. And he did. Welcome back. So good to be here with you, actually, 2 weekends in a row. It's getting kind of choppy there for a while. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, ready every single day to take on the radical left, the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine, and every individual with a microphone, with a camera, with a blog, who continues to try and pump the mainstream media narrative down your throat. And you know what? I offer myself as a sacrifice. I never get a taker. It's 507, the phone number here, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971, 44 degrees in Aurora, 46 over there in hell, otherwise known as the Mile High City. Of course, last week I was kind of working through maybe a transition for my beloved native city of Denver from hell to purgatory, because, you know, hell is an end game. Hell is an end result. Purgatory is a transition, and people are transitioning out of Denver. You probably heard about the survey that was done that said that Denver was at the bottom of the list of cities in which to raise a family. It was just tragic, just terrifying. Man, when I grew up, you know, Downing would flood there along Washington Park, and we'd play out in the gutters and big rainstorms and ride around to the neighbors' houses to, you know, watch Batman or the Green Hornet on the very first color TV in the neighborhood. And, oh, what a simpler time it was. And now it's just rife with crime and filth and homelessness and all of those things. In fact, we'll probably play a clip later. The only Republican who's running for Denver mayor was on with Kyle Clark. And he, you know what, might as well, since we're talking about it, might as well just share this with you quickly and get it out of the way. Because obviously, we're going to want to talk about Donald Trump. My promos all week for this show were to talk about Ukraine as I try and figure out just which side I come down on. But I imagine that the so-called pending indictment, arrest, we'll see. We'll see if it actually happens. You got to think that it's coming. But there are folks actually leaking, apparently, out of the New York District Attorney's Office who say there is tremendous internal strife there about actually pulling the trigger on this thing, because it's going to backfire. It's going to blow up. The U.S. Federal District Attorney or Federal Attorney looked at this. They tried to make a case out of this. They tried to come up with a theory that says, let's assume Trump denies this particular affair, but let's assume that it's true for purposes of the discussion. So there's an affair. The timing is bad, looks bad, sounds bad. Now I'm running for president. My God, I might actually win. And I've got to make sure that this doesn't come out. So a non-disclosure agreement gets signed and money gets paid. There is no crime there. None. There's no crime there. Anyway, we're going to delve into all of those details in just a few minutes. But before we do that, as long as I already sidetracked into Denver, let's have a listen to this interview between Kyle Clark and Republican Denver mayoral candidate Andy Rugeau.
So I have a beautiful park by my house. We live in the Highlands neighborhood. I'll go out with my three-year-old in my arms, so go out through a back gate, and I will see a man with his pants around his ankles using his restroom. And I'll have to turn with my three-year-old, and she loves the swing, so it's her favorite thing in the world, in tears. You call 911, call the non-emergency hotline, nothing happens. We are not helping that person by letting that person deal with that drug addiction issue in the park by my house. We're not helping my neighbors by doing that. Enforcing the camping ban, enforcing our public decency laws, are ultimately going to help that person by getting them the help they need. So just to clarify, did you call 911 on somebody who's going to the bathroom outdoors?
Yes.
Because they were they had their pants around their ankles, yeah, defecating in my park with my little girl in my arms.
So that brings up an interesting question, because one thing other candidates are talking about is the lack of public restrooms in this city,
yes,
compared to others. And that forces people who are experiencing homelessness to go to the bathroom outdoors if they can't, yes, find a building that will allow them inside. So what do you think about the idea of adding public restrooms?
Immediately next to my neighborhood, there's a 7-Eleven across the street that has an available bathroom. There's a public library a few blocks away. So this was not a situation where someone was 15 blocks away from a restroom. This was someone who was clearly dealing with a severe drug addiction issue, because we could see him using drugs. And this was the fence line right next to where he'd set up his stuff.
So what do you think about the idea of adding more publicly available restrooms in Denver?
I think the best thing to do is to get people into the service they need.
Oh, Kyle. Did you hear? You called 911 on someone who was going to the bathroom outside? The guy's walking out of his house, a drug addict with his pants down, taking a crap in a beautiful park right near where this man moved to raise his family. And Kyle's only issue is, do you support putting up more public bathrooms? This Republican has no chance of winning in Denver. Obviously, the voting is way too stacked with radical left Democrats. You see what happens on the city council there, school boards, etc. But the one man with common sense gets just rolled right over by Kyle Clark. You called 911 on a man going to the bathroom outside? Yeah, actually, they used to arrest people if they stumbled out of the bar and tried to walk home and urinated into a bush. I mean, we actually used to enforce laws in this country. So we'll just bring in more bathrooms, and that way more homeless people can come closer to our park and they can defecate inside if they want, unless, the units get too dirty or they don't get drained fast enough or somebody's in there, and then they'll just drop drawer and doo-doo wherever. It's just hard to believe that we live in this kind of a society, this kind of an environment, with this kind of perspective. Kyle Clark, you called 911 on a man going to the bathroom outside? Yeah, he was doing drugs in front of my 3-year-old daughter, who started crying seeing this disgusting activity by this sick individual. And Andy just said, we've got to get these people the help that they need. We don't support it with our safe injection sites. We don't support it with, let's create more opportunities for them to come into our neighborhoods, but at least have a place to go, take their dump, and then they can come out, do their drugs, and pass out right on next to my backyard in the park that I moved near to. It's just incredible that Colorado has sunk to this. And so it's not surprising, of course, when a really good, solid human being like Dave Williams gets elected to be the chair of the Colorado State GOP, to have all of the media just pooing and pawing and ooing and awing and just clucking along and saying, this is it. This is the end of the GOP. Because Dave Williams had the courage to recognize that the 2020 election has serious problems. You don't need machines to prove that the 2020 election was stolen. That's why certain people who actually look at both sides of the issue, who actually have looked at the court cases that are proceeding and the discovery that's come out of some cases that are underway right now, aren't backing down one second. Not one second. Donald Trump certainly isn't backing down. The reason that Donald Trump is so terrifying to the radical left, and they have to weaponize. I mean, is this really something new? The weaponization of the Department of Justice against this president? It all started back with Hillary Clinton, did it not? And the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier, which she paid for. In fact, she misreported her payments for the Steele dossier as legal services. That's what Donald Trump is accused of right now. He listed his payoff, his silence money, his hush money, as some people like to call it, for Stormy Daniels as legal services. He listed that funding as legal services. And so I've been involved in, I don't know, dozens of NDAs over the course of my now 25-year legal career. That's a non-disclosure agreement. I've had cases where someone who was married had an affair, maybe got someone pregnant. I've had cases where someone transmitted a venereal disease and the other person wanted to be compensated. And in some of those cases, there's no actual legal cause of action, or it was going to be a very difficult legal cause of action in order to get money out of the person who gave you the disease or gave you the baby. But the person who committed the act wanted to keep it quiet. So money is offered and a deal is made and a non-disclosure agreement is signed. And that's the end of it. It may be disgusting. It may be morally bankrupt. It may be almost as bad as, you know, Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton and his dilly-dallying with Monica Lewinsky right there in the Oval Office. It may be worse than all of those things. It is not illegal. Ah, yes, but then he reported it as something else. And he did it. Here's where it becomes. And so that would be a misdemeanor, you know, false business reporting or whatever. That could be a misdemeanor. But the way this crazy Soros prosecutor in New York is trying to make it more than that is by saying that he did it to benefit himself in the election. And so there's some twisting and turning of the laws and the statutes and, you know, can do a much better analysis of this once there's an actual indictment, if there's an indictment. But that's the twisting and turning that has to happen to try and make this case. And the feds looked at this. The feds, who, through the Steele dossier, Russia, 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 two impeachment hoaxes, the Ukraine call, the lies about Charlottesville, all of those things, they've tried to take down Trump. Hasn't worked. Not going to work this time either. But the federal government, the Justice Department, has used all of those mechanisms to try and get at this guy, and yet they backed away from this one. And one of the reasons they backed away from it is because their star witness, Donald Trump's former attorney, what was his name, Michael Cohen, I think, has lied so many times, not just before he got busted and went to jail and then made a deal and agreed to cooperate for, you know, more lenient sentence to get his carcass out of the can. But he's been lying since then. You know, at the very least, if you're going to have an informant, you've got to be able to demonstrate that, well, they've seen the light now. They've seen the error of their ways, and they want to work with us, we the people, the government institutions that are trying to protect you and bring justice to you. And so he's telling the truth now. He's been telling the truth ever since he found God. He found the Department of Justice. He found leniency. This guy just keeps on lying. So he's going to make a terrible witness. And I think that's why, if it's true, and, you know, these things, nothing leaks out about Biden and the $3 million that China pumped into different members of his family and the Hunter Biden laptop and all of those crimes, guns in dumpsters, you know, possession of weapons while you're snorting and smoking cocaine and all the things that we've got on video. All of those things are kept quiet within the Department of Justice. You know, those investigations, we have a duty to keep things quiet. But anything with regard to Trump is fair game for a leak. And so it is. It's a remarkable set of circumstances that we are weighing into. How long ago was it? I pulled up this article because I knew, March 31, 2022, less than 1 year ago, the Democrat National Committee and the Clinton campaign agreed to pay a fine regarding the Steele dossier. What were they being fined for? They were settling a campaign finance violation because they reported the Steele dossier as legal services. They reported those payments to the law firm Perkins Cole, which then hired Fusion GPS, which does research and intelligence. and they reported those expenditures as legal services. So what happens if you're a Democrat? What happens if you're Hillary Clinton? Oh, you get charged with a campaign finance violation and you pay a fine. That story was in the AP. That's not conservative, right-wing, makeup lies about something that happened. That's what actually happened. Got no coverage at all. But Donald Trump, if he paid hush money to keep Stormy Daniels quiet through a non-disclosure agreement, which is done hundreds of thousands of times every month around this country. I'll bet at least every year. I've had dozens of them in my firm. And I've only been practicing 25 years, and I don't focus on that kind of thing. They just come once in a while. If you know somebody who's in trouble, they're not uncommon. And they don't have to involve sex. They can involve any number of things that people just simply don't want to get out. People, in fact, you settle an injury case. Then quite often you sign an agreement that says, here's your money, but we're not admitting any liability. And you can't talk about it. And if you do talk about it, we get to come and take our money back. I have car crash cases where people are like, no, I want to talk about it. And we have to fight over that non-disclosure agreement. It's not uncommon. But the point, then we got to go to break, and then we'll come back and start with phone calls. 303-696-1971. Hillary Clinton, less than 1 year ago, who funded the untrue, the complete lie, Steele dossier that Democrats and weak-kneed mainstream Republicans tried to use to justify running away from Donald Trump as fast as they can, was reported for tax purposes, reported for campaign finance purposes as legal services. The big crime that Donald Trump is accused of committing? Disclosing as legal services payments made to the scumball Michael, legal services for payments made to Stormy Daniels. Is that really that big of a deal? But will they play it up and out for everything they've got? And then they'll bring in, we've got the special prosecutor. I know we've got to take a break. Well, we've got the special prosecutor who's working on the documents that were hidden at Mar-a-Lago. And this prosecutor who's working on the scheme, the plan to overthrow the federal government on January 6th. All of it nonsense if you look at the facts and break it down. And then we've got Georgia going after Trump over a phone call. Hey, I'm 10,700 votes there. I just need you to find me 11,000. Like, that meant go out and fraudulently obtain 11,000 votes so that I win Georgia. It's such nonsense. And the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine and all the weak sticks that jump aboard those mantras don't have the courage to face it and actually talk it through, or at least debate it with someone who knows what they're talking about. It's fascinating. All right, Tim J., sorry, I've gone long. We're going to jump to our break. We'll be right back, straight to the phones. One open line, 303-696-1971. Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. But we're still celebrating St. Patty's Day. I just wanted to get to that Irish Rover, because we played the Unicorn song by the Irish Rovers, and now we played the Irish Rover by the Dubliners. Actually went to an Irish pub Friday night, had a few minutes to spare, and snuck into Fanugie's, which isn't too far from here, even closer to my home, and has the benefit for me of having my very favorite pinball machine. In fact, I hold the highest score on that machine, and man, everything was green beer, some green liquid you could see through, looked practically like water, but people were so loud. I could only stick around for about 30 minutes, fortunately, but it was just fun to see people celebrating and being happy. And we've got some more serious Irish songs that we're going to play before the show is over as part of our just appreciation of St. Patrick's Day and the Irish in general. So welcome back. It's 5:31, And we had our Arapaho Tea Party meeting this week, and it was fantastic, packed, I don't know, 80. We sold 110 tickets. I don't know if 100 people came. We kept having people who didn't exist go on and buy blocks of tickets, like 6 to 10 tickets. It was insane. And you knew they were phony because they had names that were just unusual, funny spellings, and then you'd look at their email, and it was an email to a Texas legislator or a Kansas legislator or somebody else. And you do a quick Google search, and the person is just non-existent. So they're so desperate to keep you and me from getting together and talking and organizing and doing things that even a simple monthly meeting like the Arapaho Tea Party, which just packs the house every month, they have to go on and try and interfere with our ticketing system. So we're thinking about some ways to clean that up, because I just wonder how many other people couldn't get our free tickets because people had blocked them by grabbing some before we could clear them off. I literally, the night before the meeting, cleared at least 60 people off of there, 60 tickets, sold to, I don't know, 7 or 8 people. And I know my staff was doing it during that day and then the day of the meeting. So that's how scared they are. And we had a little poll right at the beginning of Trump supporters versus DeSantis supporters. I mean, really, nobody else is going to come anywhere close to these two guys. And right now, Trump is way ahead. I expect that polling to increase. And, you know, Republican National Committee, man, I will stay neutral. I won't tell you who to vote for. But I have no trouble reporting on what I think is happening, what I see, and what these polls say, right? So at the Arapaho Tea Party, then we'll go to the phones. It was about 2/3 to 3/4 Trump. And this was at least 85, maybe 90 people. 2/3 to 3/4 Trump and about 1/4 to 1/3 DeSantis. But the good news was this. And this is one of the reasons I think that all of the anti-Trump or never Trump Republicans ought to just relax, because everyone who was a big Trump supporter said they would vote for DeSantis. In fact, most people that I know will vote for whomever the Republican nominee is because, well, the Democrats are just that bad. Isn't that how we justified voting for Pam Anderson if we did, or justified voting for Joe O'Dea if we did? I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that exactly. I did vote for both of those people because, as Republican National Committee man, I think I'm pledged to support Republican nominees. Had I not been in that official office, I don't know that I would have voted for either one. And I really like Joe O'Dea. I really, and I thought Pam Anderson seems like a nice enough lady. I've got some dirt on Pam Anderson, though, what she's up to now. It's dirt from my perspective. We'll try and get to that, in fact, before the show is over. If not, we'll come back to it next weekend, because it's very, very important. And if people who thought that she was the best choice for Republican Secretary of State should know what she's out there doing now. But right now, the Trump thing is big. The election of Dave Williams is big. And Tim wants to talk about Dave Williams, which I'm happy to do. My good friend Dave Williams, now the new chair of the Colorado State GOP. Tim, welcome.
Well, thank you, Randy. Yeah, I'm glad to see that a guy like Dave Williams was elected chair. Casper was my choice, but Dave Williams is a fighter, and I think the reactions to him being elected are both predictable and somewhat amusing.
And, were you a voter, Tim?
Yes, I was. And I just recently, as a result, not for Dave Williams, for the chair race.
Oh, you're not a voter in the chair race. That's what I meant. I should have been more clear.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I've been unaffiliated for quite a while, Randy. I think I mentioned to you before more than once, got disgusted with the GOP in the 1990s. And as a result of somebody like Dave Williams being elected chair, and people that I hear that I refer to as Stockholm Syndrome Republicans saying that they're going to leave the GOP because of guys like him being elected and because there's so much vitriol and Trump is so mean, all this kind of stuff. I re-registered as a Republican.
That is really good news. And I cannot tell you, you know, it's not like in the hundreds, but I've had a lot of people tell me the same thing. Like, I have been waiting for someone like Donald Trump to come along and actually do, even though Donald Trump's not a conservative, no question about that, but do what conservatives have wanted the Republican Party to do. And now I've waited for leadership to actually be, you know, courageous enough to stand up and say, look, we're not going to back down anymore. We're not going to keep apologizing for caring about life caring about legitimate elections or anything else. We're just going to bring the fight to you and let the best man or woman win. I mean, I'm happy with that. And welcome back, Tim. It's going to be very important to have as many Republicans involved as possible.
Well, thank you, Randy. I'm looking forward to being back now. And, you know, I think that Republicans need, and other conservatives, unaffiliated conservatives, need to have a realistic view of what we're facing in Colorado, because the demographics have changed so much over the years with so much migration from other places, and unfortunately, mostly left-of-center migration. So I think that victories are possible, and I think Dave Williams is absolutely right. You can't be on defense all the time. You have to take offense sometimes in order to make any gains whatsoever.
Yeah, go on the offense. I know exactly what you mean. And you know what's funny is that when I first got up off the couch, and it was the Tea Party movement that inspired me, and so I started looking at the Republican Party and working inside of it, doing, you know, from poll watcher, precinct leader, all those different kinds of roles that you do, and sort of figuring it out, I was not welcome there with my views, with my constitutional conservative pro-life views. It really wasn't welcome. But I didn't think, well, I'm just going to leave now. I thought, what we need to do is work our way into positions of influence and bring more and more people with us and turn the party the direction that it needs to go to push back against this virtual leftward lurching that we've been doing now for decades. You know, we'll pull back and then we'll take three more steps to the left, and then we pull back one, maybe two, and then three or four more steps to the left. But it's always a leftward trend, and it's time for that to stop. And so these folks who are getting out, Mandy Connell, the radio host, the former CU regent, Sue Sharkey, have said, I can't be affiliated with this party. I just extend my arms and say, look, guys, if you think we're headed in the wrong direction, don't leave us. Jump in. Bring people with you. Let's debate it. Let's fight about it. Let the best man or woman win. And when I say fight, I don't mean, you know, a street fight. I mean, let's have some conversations and look at history and talk it through. It's so immature, the reaction of, I'm just going to take my toys and go home. I can't be affiliated with this dumpster fire, some, I think Mandy called it. It's silly. And where do they go, Tim?
Well, it's incremental indoctrination. These are people taking their cues from the MSM on what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable as far as political discourse. And the MSM is an arm of the Democrat Party. So they're reacting to what they're told is acceptable. And they've been told Orange Man bad so much that they can't even look to see the positive things that he did policy wise. So I'm glad to be back. I'm not too sad to see people like Mandy Connell and Sue Sharkey go if they're worried about vitriol. They certainly weren't worried about vitriol from the Democrats for years and years, evidently.
Yeah, or any of the lies that were thrown at Donald Trump for his entire presidency. It didn't seem to bother them too much. But I'm not happy to see him go. I'd rather have them keep an open mind and an open ear and maybe just reach out and engage in a conversation. It seems like that makes more sense to me. And by the way, who are they going to vote for? If they're stuck voting for the Republican eventually, unless it's Trump, because Trump is just so bad. But if they're stuck voting for many Republicans eventually, then why not continue to be an influencer in the party? It just doesn't make much sense to me, Tim. But, you know, it's early.
I see your point.
Yeah. People have their Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, sir. You're the caller. You do it.
I just wanted to leave you with one thing, Randy. I've been hearing a lot about fake talk radio lately. And the next catchphrase or the next battle cry you're going to hear from fake talk radio, take this to the bank, it's going to be raccoon dogs.
Yeah, that's the new theory that's coming out after we have literally former CDC officials and FBI, like Chris Wray, who I don't trust any further than I can throw him, that are actually saying, yeah, kind of looks like a lab. And then those people ignore everything that ties Fauci to gain-of-function research and the Wuhan lab and the emails and the emails that have been released now where he told colleagues not to talk about those possible alternative theories. I mean, it's just, we're so overwhelmed as the truth gets exposed that people don't have time to keep up with it all. But it's all pounding, marching our way, Tim. J6 narrative, the vaccine narrative, the election narrative. And now this, again, another example of the dual justice system that we have, the politicization of the justice system with this anticipated indictment of Donald Trump. It's painful, but it's so exciting. It's so interesting. And to me, it's all evidence that we're winning. They're getting so desperate. They've got to go to these points to try and slow it down. I love it.
Excellent. Excellent point.
Thank you, Tim.
You're 100% right. And as somebody I hear on talk radio says occasionally, when the truth is found to be lies.
Love it. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
You betcha. You know, when you hear the phrase, you're an election denier, just remind folks that they're election fraud deniers, because the evidence of fraud is everywhere. You don't need machines. And even in the Fox v. Dominion case, no one ever talks about the discovery that's coming out on the other side of people within Dominion acknowledging the vulnerabilities of their machines. Do you remember back early when machines were a question and people said, well, they don't connect to the internet? And then they found modems inside of them. And so they said, well, they can connect to the internet, but we don't connect them to the internet. And then when it was proven that they do connect to the internet, we were told that, well, they connect to the internet, but nothing bad happens. It's just incremental truth and a fire hose full of lies that comes flying back our way. And you know what? The truth will out. We can handle it. It's 5:43. I know the lines are popping. I need to take another break. We'll jump straight to the phones after a little Irish music when we return here on 710 KNUS. Ah, but it's St. Patty's Day.
This song is not a rebel song. This song is Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Talk about a great Irish band, U2. And it is kind of a protest song. If you watch the video of that thing, war scenes, a whole nine yards. What's special about that particular version, though, is that was live at Red Rocks all the way back in 1983. Man, that's how long that band has been rocking and rolling. So before we get back to the phones, a quick reminder about my good friends at Cenogenics, because when it comes to creating and maintaining a healthy lifestyle, there's no magic pill. There's no product that will work for you and do it for you. I took a good hard look at my own health. I partnered with Dr. McCallum and Dr. Watt at Cenogenics Denver, and I have really appreciated the results. Imagine a world where you're not just another number. Your doctor knows everything about you. They spend time to discover everything that they need to know about you to help keep you well. Not only healthy, but optimally healthy. And that's the world that exists at Cenogenics Denver. You'll be cared for by the great doctors and staff there. Achieve your peak cognitive, physical, and metabolic health. And as we get older, it's so important to keep track of those markers. I've been able to create a future for myself where I'm active, healthy, I've got energy for the demands of everyday life. And I'm telling you what, 3 grandkids, 2 more in the hopper about to pop, a daughter who loves going to the Avs games, Harleys and dirt bikes in the family. I need all the help I can get. Life's too short. Your health is too precious to trust in just anyone. Don't settle for mediocre, long waits for tests and results, or calls that don't get returned. Call my friends at Cenogenics, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. Expect the best, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with the Guinness Book of World Record holder for marathons, Pastor Dr. Run Malachi O'Brien. I've got a family connection with him. He finally shut it down. And now he's on to really, in his mind, I know, bigger and better things, because he is just pushing the great revivals that are going on. Started at, what was it, Asbury College? I think it was a college. Asbury, it wasn't a university. Asbury College, I think. Anyway, kind of funny, because his biological dad, one of my best friends, and I went to school at Asbury Elementary. But setting all that aside, he'll join us sometime in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got too many calls to bring him on too quick here. And then at 8 o'clock, make sure, I'm sorry, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central, that's what I wrote down, for our incredible activist guest, Scott Pressler. The Persistence, if you are on Twitter. This is that big, tall, long-haired, soft-spoken, mild-mannered, unbelievable patriot who is out registering voters and training people how to make an impact in our elections. And he's on the ground in Wisconsin because perhaps the most important race in America is going on in Wisconsin right now. It's for United States. It's for the state Supreme Court justice. And there's a conservative on the bench and a liberal running against him. And if the liberal wins, then all of a sudden Wisconsin, which was one of the targeted states where laws were changed and fraud or election violations were committed. And if we let the liberal take that seat back, then it'll be Katie bar the door in 2024 for Wisconsin. It's that important. And he'll tell you how you can help him in his and help all the folks in Wisconsin right here in Colorado. It doesn't cost you a thing to try and make sure that this election stays, then the court in Wisconsin stays conservative. Scott Pressler will join us by phone right out of the gate in the 7 o'clock hour. So let's see who's been, I usually like to go ladies first, but Jay has been waiting forever. So Jay, welcome to Wake Up with Randy Corporan.
Thank you much, sir. Yeah, I appreciate you. You know, bad things happen when good people stand down.
Amen.
And so amen to you for doing what you do, because you're a voice of us and we don't have that. So thank you for that right off the bat.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, we're fighting for family, we're fighting for country, so we're all in it together, as far as I'm concerned. And the radical left is not going to slow us down, or the corrupt coordinated
media machine. What do they want? What is their end game? I don't care if they're playing a game of chess or checkers or a game of Monopoly. Everybody, I don't care. I'm a farmer and a rancher, whatever have you. But you work so hard to where, therefore, yeah, you hope you get a good crop. You hope you get whatever. You know, you work so where you get the paycheck on Friday. But what do they want? What do these people want from us? It's like,
well, it's actually out there for all to see, man, because books have been written about it. What the left has been doing, the communists that have infiltrated the Democrat Party, the radicals who are in charge are looking for a utopian society. They're after power. They can't stand individualism, sovereignty. They don't want America to be the greatest country in the world. They want America to lower itself down and be part of a globalist new world order. It's really
okay,
easy.
But then they would starve too. That's the whole oxymoron of their thought process.
It's a great point. They don't see it that way because they figure that, well, we're in power. If we get things set up the way we want it, then we'll be okay. We've just got to get rid of all those other people who, you know, think that being free or making their own decisions is more important than the greater good of utopia. It's
okay. Well, then why don't they build something of themselves? Why don't they build something and create something for themselves, and then they wouldn't have to do this to us?
A great question, Jay. Because they can't. They can't build anything.
You're right. Exactly my point.
Yeah. They can't build anything that
survives. They don't know what a 9/16 wrench is. They don't know how to plant a seed of corn. They don't know how to put a roof on a house. They don't know how to do anything. But they're the ones that want it when you build it.
Yeah. And they want it for free. They want the prices down. They want the government to pay. It's just the philosophy.
It's interesting.
It's tragic because our children are the victims. Our children are suffering in the schools, body parts being cut off, sexualized at early ages. But the flip side of that, Jay, and then I'm going to jump so we can squeeze Holly in before the break. But the flip side to that is that it has been a great awakening. COVID was a great awakening. What's going on
True.
In the schools is a great awakening. And these organizations all around the country, whether it's mothers.
But it's sad to us. It's sad to us. You know, people that are. I mean, you're a like-minded individual. It's sad to me to watch it happen, you know. Our kids are the most precious thing, and they're trashing our kids.
It's tragic, Jay, but the fight is on. We're going to win it. God bless. Have a good weekend, sir. Holly in Aurora, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Randy. I just wanted to say, you know, you were talking about you weren't real sure about Pam Anderson, and it showed to me that Tina Peters really had more to offer than we'd like to have believed, because there when the state chair was being elected, she threw her votes that when she decided to pull out, she threw her votes towards Dave Williams, and it was enough to push him over. And so that tells me that she had more people supporting her than it seemed when it was her and Pam Anderson running against each other.
Well, so, I don't know that you can draw those comparisons, Holly. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the courage of Tina Peters and what she is trying to do. But she didn't have tremendous support at the state assembly. I think she was in the 10% range or something like that. Kevin Lundberg, both Kevin Lundberg and Tina threw their support behind Dave Williams, and that was certainly enough to clear the field. In fact, he and Eric Odland were fairly close during the first two votes, but in the third and final vote, Dave Williams won by just under 10%. And I was glad that the two others threw their support behind him. I think it was important. Casper never said anything. He's actually, I think, getting himself out of politics now. So, I don't know, you know, who knows about the primary election. And you wonder about all of the sudden upticks in voting. But, you know, I haven't seen any evidence or proof. None of the actual court cases went anywhere, and I understand that. Regardless, Pam Anderson is now out there again promoting organizations that will pump money into future elections, and I've got details on that. I just don't have time to get into it right now. It's part of her work at CTCL, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which was always my reporting on her. Even when she won the primary, and I thought, well, as a Republican National Committee man, I've got to, you know, vote for this person. But her work in CTCL, almost $500 million Zuckerbucks, never got a good explanation on that and why she supported it. And she's back out there doing it again. So, Holly, whether it's this week or next, we'll get into that story so people know in case she runs again in the future. And in the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful Saturday night.
You too.
All right. God bless. All right, Jack and Brian, we're going to postpone our scheduled guest at the top of the hour. We'll get him on in a little bit because I don't want to keep you guys hanging, but we are at the top of the hour, so you're going to have to sit tight. Malachi O'Brien will join us sometime in the 6 o'clock. Scott Pressler at right about 7:04. And I'm Randy Corcoran. You're listening to 710 KNUS. We are just getting underway, and man, we got nowhere to go but hot.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.